It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Researchers are developing methods to restore land that's been impacted by gas drilling methods.
Here's a mix that was all native grasses and wildflowers. As you can see right now, this appears to be solid wild bergamot.
Wild bergamot is a native wildflower that bumblebees apparently really love. We'll hear about it in just a moment. First, we'll visit the halls of the state capitol. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Pre-trial impeachment proceedings in the West Virginia Senate kicked off Tuesday with a roller coaster that still leaves all four impeached justices standing trial. As Dave Mistich reports, there were efforts to publicly reprimand Chief Justice Margaret Workman and Justice Beth Walker, and dismiss the case against now-retired Justice Robin Davis. But those measures failed.
The House of Delegates Board of Managers, a group of delegates functioning as prosecutors, offered an agreement to Workman and Walker to accept responsibility for lavish court spending, acknowledge the need for updated policies, and implement reforms. Chief Justice Workman was named in Articles 4 and 6 of the Articles of Impeachment, which allege overpayment of senior status judges. Chief Justice Workman and Justice Walker were named in Article 14, which alleged that the justices of the Supreme Court of Appeals generally and collectively failed to provide administrative oversight of the court. House Judiciary Chairman and Impeachment Manager John Schott introduced the proposed agreement by saying that the Board of Managers believe the censure, in lieu of making Workman and Walker stand trial and risk removal from office, was a fair settlement.
And we have reached an agreement which we think will address the goals that the House laid out when we undertook this process. Basically those goals, as I indicate, accountability, but a foundation to rebuild public trust in the judiciary branches, as I said, is so indispensable to the operation of our system of government.
Delegate Andrew Byrd on the Board of Managers read the proposed agreement.
Respondents Chief Justice Margaret L. Workman and Justice Elizabeth D. Walker, together with the Board of Managers of the West Virginia House of Delegates for the impeachment trials pending in the West Virginia Senate, jointly agreed.
Ben Bailey of Bailey and Glasser addressed the Senate and iterated Workman's agreement to the terms of censure.
Most of what the House sought to achieve when it started down this road has been achieved.
One of Walker's attorneys, Mike Hissom of Hissom, Foreman, Donovan, and Ritchie, delivered similar sentiments on behalf of his client.
We are convinced, certain, that the members of this court would see that Justice Walker, at the end of that trial, did not commit any offense that would merit her removal from office under the West Virginia Constitution. Nevertheless, Justice Walker has acknowledged responsibility for the court's spending, including on the justice's personal offices.
Both attorneys stated their clients would mount a defense to the articles of impeachment should the Senate not agree to the censure resolution. In the end, they will. After returning to the chamber following a more than three-hour recess, Majority Leader Ryan Ferns called a point of order on Senate Resolution 204, which proposed the censure of Workman and Walker.
Mr. President, I question whether or not it's proper for the Senate to consider a resolution that presupposes any innocence or guilt with articles of impeachment pending without having heard any evidence.
Senators from both parties huddled around the president's podium for a few moments before Senate President Mitch Carmichael ruled the resolution out of order, leaving Workman and Walker forced to stand trial. Walker's trial is set to begin October 1st, while Workman's trial will begin October 15th. A motion to dismiss articles of impeachment against former Justice Robin Davis, who retired one day after being named in the adopted articles of impeachment, also failed. Senator Charles Trump moved to dismiss the articles against Davis, which targeted her for her role in the overpayment of senior status judges, lavish spending on renovations to her court offices, and a lack of administrative oversight of the judicial branch.
Thank you, Your Honor. I move pursuant to Rule 13 that articles of impeachment adopted by the House of Delegates as to former Justice Robin Davis, and those are specifically Article 2, Article 4, Article 5, and Article 14. Now, some of those embrace and accuse more than one justice, but insofar as they relate to former Justice Davis only, I move for their dismissal.
With some senators challenging the possibility of Davis still being eligible to be deemed a senior status judge at the discretion of a future Supreme Court, and others saying that they had yet to hear the evidence, the motion to dismiss charges against her failed on a 15-19 vote. Remarkably, not at all decided by party.
If so, the clerk will close the machine and ascertain the results. On this question of 15 yea, 19 nay, I declare the motion lost.
Davis's trial is set for October 29th. Suspended Justice Alan Loffrey was charged in impeachment articles for using state resources, including vehicles, furniture, and computers, for private gain, lavish spending on office renovations, the overpayment of senior status judges, and failing to provide administrative oversight of the court. He has also pleaded not guilty to 25 counts of federal charges, including fraud, witness tampering, making false statements, and obstruction. His impeachment trial is set for November 12th, after his criminal trial is set to begin October 2nd. A fifth justice, Menas Ketchum, retired one day before an investigation into impeachment of the court began, and was subsequently not named in any of the adopted articles. He has pleaded guilty to one federal charge of fraud. The Senate has recessed until October 1st. When Walker's impeachment trial will begin. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich at the Capitol.
The Environmental Protection Agency says it will add areas near the Fayette County town of Minden to its list of the most serious hazardous waste sites in the country. Brittany Patterson has more.
In the 1980s, the EPA found that a local company was responsible for contaminating the town's soil with a harmful chemical called polychlorinated biphenyls, or PCBs. The agency spent millions of dollars on a cleanup. But residents have been concerned PCB contamination is ongoing and asked the EPA for additional testing and for financial help for additional cleanups. The agency proposed adding the original Schaefer equipment site, as well as parts of nearby Arbuckle Creek, to the Superfund National Priorities List. The EPA says it found elevated levels of PCBs in sediments taken from Arbuckle Creek up to 1 mile downstream from Minden. The creek often floods the community, which the EPA says has spread the PCB contamination. This designation would make Minden eligible for long-term cleanup paid for by the federal government. The EPA will accept public comments on the proposed listing for 60 days. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:51. Areas of fog this morning, mostly cloudy skies today, scattered rain and thunderstorms, high temperatures in the 70s and low 80s. Chance rain and thunderstorms tonight with lows in the 60s. Variable cloudiness on Thursday with a chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 70s and low 80s. And the same forecast for Friday, variable cloudiness, rain and thunderstorms possible in the east with highs in the 70s and 80s. This is West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Crews are busy working at the site of a natural gas pipeline that exploded Monday in Beaver County. The blast destroyed a house and resulted in several downed power lines, but no residents were injured. Emergency responders say now that the evacuation is over and residents have returned to their homes. They have a tough questions for pipeline operator Energy Transfer Partners. Barry Kramer is chief in Center Township, where the blast occurred. He says he didn't even know the newly built pipeline was operating yet.
Now I think the conversation shifts to, okay, tell us, pipeline people, why this happened, and assure us that it's not going to happen again.
Kramer says he believes heavy rains led to a landslide that contributed to the explosion, but he's not sure what caused a spark. The Public Utility Commission is investigating while the pipeline operator says it's inspecting the entire 100-mile line. Nearly 1,800 acres of state-owned forest in Pennsylvania have been cleared for gas drilling over the past decade, wiping out critical habitat for native species. For State Impact Pennsylvania, the Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier checked up on researchers who are trying to bring some of it back.
Kelly Sitch is an ecologist with the Pennsylvania Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. And right now, he's walking in a clearing deep in the Tyodotten State Forest in north central Pennsylvania. We're surrounded by wildflowers and tall grasses in what is essentially an outdoor laboratory.
Here's a mix that was all native grasses and wildflowers. As you can see right now, this appears to be solid wild bergamot.
Sitch and a group of scientists have divvied up this clearing into dozens of small plots, each planted with different species. The one we're standing next to was planted with wild bergamot. It's a native species with light purple flowers that look like pom-poms. Butterflies and bees hover over these chest-high flowers on this warm summer morning.
This is only a 13 by 13 foot square, but to a bumblebee, this is a fantastic ecosystem right here. So it wouldn't take a very large portion of a well-pad edge to provide a lot of ecosystem benefits.
DCNR has leased over 100,000 acres of state forest to the gas industry for fracking in the Marcellus Shale. Here in the Tyodotten, the industry has cut down around 1,000 acres of forest to make way for well pads, pipelines, and compressor stations. Sitch says most of this land won't be grown back as forests, at least not for decades.
But there's a lot of areas around the edge of the well pad that have been cleared, or perhaps areas that were used to store water trucks or fracking equipment that's no longer necessary when it's just in production.
And it's these areas, around the edges of gas development, that Sitch and his colleagues like Patrick Drohan want to resuscitate. Drohan, a soil scientist at Penn State, says the problem isn't just that the forest has been cut down. To build a well pad, companies use heavy equipment to compact the ground underneath.
Most of the time, what's done for these types of operations is they compact to what's called no movement. And that standard is similar when you're building a parking lot. It's similar to when you're building a shale gas pad.
And that's not good for plants to grow in. Compacted soil has fewer pores to store water or gases that a plant needs to survive.
So in this case, what we're trying to do is alleviate deep compaction. And to do that, you need to use big equipment to rip the soil.
The team brought in a bulldozer with a special attachment on it to cut into the compacted soil. Basically, they tilled the ground to varying depths to see which depth worked best. One row, at the far end of the plot, has not been loosened at all. Not surprisingly, it's doing worse than the rows that have been retilled. Again, Kelly Sitch.
That far row is much less drought tolerant than the other three rows, and we're seeing a lot more non-native invasive species that can still tolerate that very dry soil.
The goal, Sitch says, is to give gas companies step-by-step instructions for repairing and replanting the borders of their well pads, pipelines, and other construction areas. He doesn't think cost should be a problem for most companies.
You're really getting down to almost less than $2,000 an acre, which may be a lot of money to you and I, but when you're talking about multi-million dollar operations over many sites, it's not really very much of a money commitment.
For now, the agency isn't proposing to make any of these methods mandatory. And so far, Sitch says, gas companies have been receptive to the group's ideas. The Tyodotten State Forest is 150,000 acres. Sitch says even if they can only restore a few hundred of these, that would be worth it.
If we're creating habitat for insects, for songbirds, butterflies and moths, native plants, that's a great deal of real estate.
Bringing back some of the forest is better than none at all. Reed Frazier, State Impact, Pennsylvania.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.